Yes, tricky people. Tricky people can cause you grief. I'm sure you can think of one or two in your life. But they're often the movers and shakers among us. In office politics, relationships and families, there's almost always a tricky person, a bully, a backstabber, a complainer or an avoider. And that I've barely got started. And they can make your life hell. But luckily, the psychologist Andrew Fuller has dealt with thousands of tricky people and their victims over the past 25 years, and he joins me now. Hello, Andrew.
Morning, Richard.
What impact do tricky people have on the rest of us?
An enormous. They can infiltrate our lives and send us really reeling, I think, and wailing and gnashing our teeth, losing sleep and chatting to other people who have no power to change them. So they can really affect our lives and toxify them.
Toxify. Is that a word? I like it. We'll go with it. We're all a bit tricky to an extent, but how do you categorise truly tricky people?
Well, I think, yes, we all have tricky behaviours from time to time, but there are people that almost make a life calling out of their major way of interacting with other people is in a particular style to sort of domineer the other person and also to avoid anxiety on their part. And those are the people that really plague other people's lives.
Yeah, you come up with, 8 or 9 categories? There's the backstabber, the blamer, the bully, the high and mighty. I will come back to all of these. Controller, the competitor, the avoider, and the poor communicator.
It was fascinating. A few years ago, I put out a book called Tricky Kids, and people kept coming, and I think we talked about it at that stage. And just after that, people would keep coming up to me and saying, you know, I used to be married to one of those, or that was my boss, or my father-in-law, or my mother-in-law. And so I started then to analyse, and I collected thousands of stories of people's tricky relationships with other adults, and started to sift through those and to really think about what are the patterns here, and they're the categories that we talked about.
Yeah, I remember doing something on psychopaths a while ago, and we're not talking about psychopaths today, but the strategy if you encounter a psychopath and you're sure they are one is to run away, because you can't beat a psychopath. But you can't run away from all the tricky people. There are many more of them than psychopaths. You've got to find ways of dealing with them.
That's right. I mean, psychopaths are still statistically quite rare.
Yes.
And thankfully so. But tricky people are much more prevalent, it would seem. So they're the people that aren't really in that area of absolute, you know, malicious kind of behaviour. But at the same time, they're pretty self-centred, they're pretty self-obsessed, and they're pretty painful to be around.
Mm.
The thing that I found was very interesting was that people, when they spoke about the tricky people in their lives, had rarely undertaken any strategy to improve the relationship. What they'd either done was either run away from it and just basically move on to another workplace or a different relationship, or they'd just suffered in silence. They were basically paralysed by these people. They're like the rabbit in the headlights, really. They had nowhere to go. And so I was really thinking about, well, how can we help people then just to start to develop some strategy, some insight to think about ways to interact with these people and perhaps, hopefully, improve their relationships.
The other one, of course, which doesn't work either, the other approach is to suffer in silence when you're around the tricky person, and then when you're not around the tricky person, when you're with your partner or a friend, then unload on them. They can't do anything about it.
That's right. You're seething away, and then basically you go home and you tell your family about it. They don't even know this person, but basically they hear it in endless amounts, and they just get bored silly, of course.
Well, you encourage us to conduct a cost-benefit analysis as to whether it's worthwhile continuing your relationship. How do you do that?
Well, partly you really need to sit back. I mean, the one thing, of course, that you get tempted to if you really are confronted by a tricky person is to fire back, you know, all guns are blazing. And, you know, and of course, the problem with that is that these people are far better at arguing and far better at fighting than you ever will be, because they've spent a lifetime honing their skills. So, of course, the thing that we have to do is just sort of draw back for a little bit and start to think strategically and analytically about it. The first thing, I think, is to try and do a cost-benefit analysis. So you're really starting to think about, well, what are their assets? What's their power position in the family or the business or in the social situation? Who are their major contacts? Who are mine? How able am I to basically control my anger? How able are they? So there's a whole series of things that we need to weigh up before deciding, is it the best idea to act? Is it best to depart the relationship, or is it better to bide my time now, build up my assets so that I'm going to be in the future in a more powerful position to act? For an example, if we look at, say, the backstabber and white anter,
yes,
and they're a group that will basically spread insidiously bad news about you. And if left unchecked, that news, well, as we know, it sticks, basically.
Yeah.
So bad news, basically, people believe.
They're nice to you, to your face.
Oh, marvellously charming, smarmy, beautifully, friendly. Mm. And then behind your back, they'll basically do you in. And so you'll hear news that other people are reporting, which is quite inaccurate. And so left unchecked, they will be your own negative PR agent for life, really.
Mm.
And they can ruin your career. They can do incredible things that ruin your reputation. So they're a group that you actually have to eventually address.
Yes.
There's no choice. But you
How
may
do you do it? You can't kill them, obviously. But...
tempting as it may yes. be at times. One of the first things that you have to do is, of course, to then think about, well, how do I go on a positive PR program about what is the truth, what I really do? Now, Australians are incredibly poor at doing this. We live in a culture that we don't like to blow our own trumpet
no.
at all, which I really love about our culture. But at the same time, I think it leaves us sometimes as a sitting duck for these sorts of people, because if there's bad news around it, it just spreads and builds up, and we're powerless to do anything about it.
You don't encourage the people to start their own whispering campaign about these white anters.
Well, white anting a white anter is, again, problematic because, well, you turn into a tricky person yourself.
That's it. And you're probably dealing with someone with more skills than you.
That's right. They've got more kind of connections and probably more ability to undermine you than you have them.
What about, because that's all very well if it's a kind of peer or somebody vaguely within your group at work, but what about if they're your boss? Not necessarily a white ander, but a bully or a tyrant. I mean, that is very difficult to deal with.
It is, and sometimes, obviously, the best course is to depart. But before you do that, because what I found was the people that just up and left were haunted by these people. Years and years later, sometimes 20, 30 years later, they would still look with a grimace of pain when they spoke about these people. So unless you do something to try and address it, it's almost as if you're left with this awful kind of, you know, I suppose, post-traumatic stress, really, in many cases. And so these, in some ways, you've really got to start to tackle it. Now, partly, of course, when you've got a boss who's a bully and tyrant, they're going to try and lord it over you. They're going to try and control you and so on. And so partly the first thing that you need to think about is learning about them. One of the things that, having worked with thousands of victims of bullies, the thing that really stands out to me is that bullies are rarely self-analytical people. They're very not self-aware. They're aware of everybody else because they want to lord it over them, but they're not actually examining their own kind of patterns. And so the first thing I often recommend to victims of bullies is to basically know your enemy, know where they move, know what they're likely to do before they're even going to do it, know their major sort of modus operandi, so that you've really got, it's almost like an examination in a very cold, clinical way. The second thing, of course, we recommend for victims of bullies is to practice the art of invisibility for a while, so to break the pattern up, to be where the bully is not. Because you'll probably know more about their likely pattern of movements than they will, because they're not self-reflective.
Mm.
And so you can actually start then to shape for a time just to be out of their way. The third thing, of course, is then deflection, to think about how you might disempower the terms or the actions that the bully's doing. That's a more complicated process, but it's actually one that's very important to then feel as though you have some power to actually not be hurt, not be really gripped by whatever the bully's doing.
So, right, okay. On Life Matters today, we are hearing about how to deal with tricky people. We're from Andrew Fuller, who's spent some considerable time dealing with the victims of tricky people, and indeed tricky people themselves, and has now written a book, Tricky People, How to Deal with Horrible Types Before They Ruin Your Life. That's going to leap off the shelves with a title like that. Can we move on to the blamers and the whingers and the whiners and the moaners? And these people... For these people, a day without offloading a few problems is a day wasted. But you say they can actually be useful.
Well, they can. These are, in some ways, the canaries in the coal mine. So if you're actually in an industry and you've got a blamer and whinger, and let's face it, which workplace hasn't?
Mm.
I mean, these are the people that sort of gather around the water cooler and basically complain about the organisation being run by a pack of incompetents.
Yes.
But they're the people that basically will tell you the bad news before anybody else. So if you really want to find out what's going to be the negative reaction to any scheme, your blamers and whingers are a wonderful group to basically actually put it to, and to say, okay, you know, pick the flaws out of this. If you want to be particularly sneaky, of course, what you can then do is give your blamers and whinges the job of selling the idea of a new proposal to everybody else. That's quite amusing.
So you're kind of saying to them, you just want to have a whinge about this, or do you want to find a way of doing something about it?
Well, that's the big problem with blamers and whingers, of course. They make complaints, they offload all the responsibility, and people basically try and help them. I mean, people, you know, despite having written a book on tricky people, I believe that most people are basically good people. Mm. And most people basically say, oh, there's a complaint, I'll try and solve it. I'll run around and try and make things better for you. But of course, not realising that these people are just truly addicted to the art of the complaint.
Can I ask you about controllers and micromanagers? There's a fine line here between being a control freak and just good attention to detail. And I ask this as a man who has two executive producers, both of whom have meticulous attention to detail. He says carefully.
Well, I do like my airline pilots and my surgeons and my executive producers to be controllers, because I think it's rather handy to have. But at the same time, there is a line across which really emerges dramatically. And so there are people that can rob you of your own rights. Mm. And they can do it in the most interestingly charming ways.
That's right.
So controllers don't have to be kind of nasty and forthright. They can say, oh, Richard, you're looking a bit tired. Perhaps you've taken on a bit much. Perhaps we should alleviate your load, put your feet up.
And actually, the EPs have never said that.
I'm certainly sorry to hear that. And so that under the sort of nicest circumstances, you can just find that they take over things for you. They'll take over your booking diary, or they'll take over answering the phone for you, basically, and sometimes pass on the messages and sometimes not, because they like to control the flow of information. So they're a very powerful and insidious bunch.
But they're useful too. They do good things.
That's right. In fact, that's the one thing that's the mixed message, I suppose, about tricky people, is these people are dynamos. They get a lot achieved in their lives.
Yes.
And they use those methods because they work for them. And they work in the world. The problem is they cost them at the same time.
And as you said before, you don't want an airline pilot who's not into control.
Yeah, that's right.
You want an airline pilot who's very into control.
Oh, that landing
and pays process. Attention to detail.
That's right.
As this chat of ours has gone along, some people may be experiencing a spark of self-realisation. How easy is it to undo the tricky habits?
It takes a bit of endurance and persistence. I think it is an alarming thing to basically sit, and believe me, it wasn't alarming to write this book and basically realise, yes, I've done that, and so you're basically aware of that all of us can be tricky people from time to time. So it takes a bit of persistence. I mean, you've got to be, on your alert to looking out for your major game plans, how you characteristically interact with people, and is that very productive? One of the things that
But it is productive. I mean, that's why these behaviours persist. It's just easier to let these tricky people do what they want, in a way, isn't it? For if you're not a tricky person, or if you're not a tyrant and you're having to deal with a tyrant, it's just much easier to try and keep out of their way than anything else.
But if you're the tricky person, and we all are at times, it costs you intimacy. So basically what happens is people stay away from you a bit, they avoid you, relationships get a little bit more distant, people get wary, and you find essentially that some of these very, very successful people at the top of corporate ladders are very lonely people.
Actually, yeah, you can't. Throughout the book there's lists of enormously famous and successful people who are all tricky in different ways. So, you know, Noel Coward, Ronald Reagan,
yes.
George W. Bush, all tricky in different ways. And I'm wondering if true success is slightly about dysfunction.
It's an interesting idea, I think, that in some ways to be that single-minded, obsessed focus, you've really got to in some ways be fairly ruthless about it generally. But hopefully, at least in your own personal life, you start to then clean up your act and don't translate it. I mean, one of the things that in therapy that I've had to deal with over years are some of the families of the high flyers who basically enact these fairly kind of, I suppose, powerful manoeuvres in the business world, but then come home and repeat exactly the same pattern on their children, their wives or their husbands. And it's a fairly bleak picture for them.
All right. So tricky people are sometimes very successful, as we've just touched on, and they can have a lot to teach us. How do we, I suppose, accent the positive and eliminate the negative?
Well, I think we have to always be aware of ourselves and aware of other people and their patterns. So one of the things that I'm hoping that this book will give people is some tools to do is to really not necessarily diagnose people as one category or the other, but to have a look at the predominant patterns that they have in their interactions. We talk about two types of relationships in the book, one being seesaw relationships and one being escalator relationships. Escalator relationships are those that build up and up and up and up until there's often a massive kind of climactic anger or outburst of some type, both if you like, that dropped it into the ground floor again before slowly then rebuilding up for the next battle. And we see families that operate like that and friendships that operate like that as well. The other one's a seesaw pattern where one person is generally dominant or more powerful or more in control or more in charge of how intimate the relationship is. And the other person basically is often the oppressed person, and that then moves around. Those two people swing like two people on a seesaw, and that pattern over time. So what the reason why those two patterns are interesting is because what can feel like a temporary victory or an improvement in a relationship can just be a stage in the relationship.
Yes.
So, you know, we have an outburst and we basically go back to the ground floor in the escalator relationship. Everything's calm for a while, but just slowly it starts to build. So once you start to get aware of these patterns in relationships, it then places you in a position to think, well, is that really what I want? And how do I contribute to it? Because that's the other thing, of course, is that we are players in this. Once you're actually interacting with a tricky person, you're rarely neutral. You're often going to be behaving in some of the tricky ways yourself.
Andrew, thank you for coming in.
That's a great pleasure.
I have to say, my favourite cartoon in the book is someone who says, I've read Andrew Fuller's book, and it validates my position and you're wrong. And the other person says, I need to read the book. And the book is Tricky People, How to Deal with Horrible Types Before They Ruin Your Life. It's published by Finch. This is Life Matters. Get in touch via the website abc.net.au/rn/Life Matters if you know any tricky people or have any strategies for dealing with them. And coming up, actually, more of your feedback.